Nationally syndicated columnist and conservative commentator George Will was on the University of Illinois Urbana campus yesterday to deliver the latest in the College of Law's New Lincoln Lectures, What Abraham Lincoln Means to the 21st Century. Will grew up in Champaign-Urbana, attending Southside and Dr. Howard Elementary Schools in Champaign and graduating from University Laboratory High School in Urbana. He spent part of yesterday reliving some memories of Champaign in his first visit to the community in 20 years. I spoke with Will yesterday before his lecture in Fullinger Auditorium and asked him how Abraham Lincoln would fit in the 2016 political climate.
We think we have a divided and tumultuous political climate. They were trying to hold the Union together, and they were arguing about slavery and large issues like that, unlike the micro issues that seem to get us all lathered up today. Lincoln, of course, lived before modern communications, before the entire tradition of the rhetorical presidency, with the president constantly in our lives and in our living rooms. There was a whole different style of discourse. We have go out on the stage for these candidates' debates, and they say, we'll ask you a question, you have 90 seconds, and then you have 30 seconds to follow up. In the Lincoln-Douglas debates, Lincoln or Douglas would start and talk for an hour. Then the other one would talk for an hour and a half, and then he who had led off would finish off with a 30-minute rebuttal. So there's an entirely different style. Modern political discourse is survival of the briefest, and the sound bite, just a bite. They had an entire meal in there in the Lincoln-Douglas debates.
Yeah, it's interesting with this culture of the sound bite. As a voter right now, how do you try and get past the sound bite into what these candidates really think, what they really believe, and you know what their values really are?
Well, I think the candidates, with one obvious exception of Donald Trump, the candidates have laid out platforms. You may like them, you may dislike them, but they're all there, and they're all available, again, new modern technology on the web, on the internet. Mr. Trump doesn't do policy. Mr. Trump is the policy. It's his ego and his persona is what we're supposed to embrace. Aside from getting the Mexicans to build a wall, I have no idea what he intends to do if, God forbid, he gets to be president.
If Donald Trump becomes the Republican nominee, how do you see a general election playing out, assuming that the nominee on the Democratic side would be Hillary Clinton, who is leading in most polls there?
Well, the two major party candidates would be a woman who is underwater in the polling on honest and trustworthy. A majority of Americans think she's neither. And you have Donald Trump, who has astonishingly high negatives, even among Republicans. So you'd have a race between two people who, before the race even begins, have lost the confidence of the public. I stress the two major party candidates because it's quite possible there would be a third party or at least an independent candidacy, because the American conservative movement is too strong and too incensed at the moment to simply let the 2016 election go by with no conservative candidate in the race.
As you look at the Republican field, there are still several candidates trying to wrestle that nomination away from Donald Trump. From your perspective as a conservative, who do you want to see on the Republican ticket in November?
My dream outcome is they have a dusty enough answer at the end of the primary season. They get to Cleveland to the National Convention without any candidate having a majority of the delegates. The convention throws up its arms and says, none of the above. We're going to nominate Paul Ryan.
So Paul Ryan is your man. What about Paul Ryan makes you think he's the standard bearer for conservatives right now?
Well, he's young, he's cheerful, he's thoughtful. He's been immersed in policy all his life. He came to Washington to work on the staff. He was a protege of Jack Kemp's. So his conservative credentials are luminous. And no one can doubt his gravitas.
So there are still Republicans out there in the field: Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, John Kasich, and Ben Carson. Of those four candidates, any that you like any more than the others?
Well, Ben Carson's really finished. This is I don't know quite why he's playing out the string, but he is. But it will be over shortly. John Kasich has a glimmer of hope, and that is to beat Trump essentially one-on-one in a winner-take-all state of Ohio. Beyond that, either Rubio or Cruz would be satisfactory to me. Of course, it's the genius, the perverse genius of Trump is that he makes everyone else seem acceptable.
The way that the climate is laying out right now, it looks very likely that Republicans will control at least a portion of Congress after the 2016 elections. There could very well be a Democrat in the White House again. If we find ourselves looking at divided government again for the next 4 years, any reason to think it would be any different the next 4 years than it has been the previous six or so since Republicans took control of Congress?
The American people, more often than not, for more than a generation now, have produced divided government, which makes you think they kind of like it. They think all presidents are rather powerful and perhaps more powerful than they ought to be, and they want to have a countervailing force on Capitol Hill. I suspect that if Mrs. Clinton becomes president, relations with Congress will be rather better than they are with Mr. Obama. Mr. Obama seems to have felt that anything he has to do collaboratively with the legislative branch is beneath his dignity. And I don't think she'll feel that way. I think she'd like to move the ball.
Before I let you go, I have to ask you a little bit about baseball. I know you're a big Chicago Cubs fan, and by all indications, it looks like the Cubs will have a strong team in here in 2016. You know, what are the chances that either this year or over the next few years that the Cubs finally bring home that World Series trophy?
Well, they won 97 games last year, and all their players are young, and they're going to be a year older and a year better. Sports Illustrated ranks them the best of all the 30 major league teams. I think that's probably right on paper. Unfortunately, they don't play the game on paper. National League is loaded with tough teams. The National League Central, fortunately, has two teams in the rebuilding mode, the Cincinnati Reds and the Milwaukee Brewers, which means the Cubs ought to win 102 games this year, which means they'll get to the postseason. When you get there, all bets are off. It's a crapshoot. Who knows what's going to happen?
Champaign-Urbana native George Will's nationally syndicated column appears in more than 400 newspapers nationwide. Will is also the author of the best-selling baseball book, Men at Work. He spoke with me before appearing at Folinger Auditorium last night in the U of I College of Law's new Lincoln Lectures, What Abraham Lincoln Means to the 21st Century.